This morning, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Luke, the 16th chapter. And in the bulletin, it says, "Can you trust God?" And I really wanted it to say, "Can God trust you?" So, if you will, fix that. "Can God trust you?" "Can God trust you?" is the title of this sermon today. And it comes out of the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, in verses 1 through 13. I read from the New King James Version. It says, "He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods," or squandering would be another word. "So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of the light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you or your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" Verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." May the Lord bless the reading of the word. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you again for who you are. Thank you for the written word, how important it is to each one of us. And we pray that, Lord, as we contemplate this text, Lord, you would minister to our spirit man and we would receive what you have to say to us. Open up our eyes to see you this morning. Open up our ears to hear your voice. And open up our hearts to experience you in a very powerful way. We do love you and we thank you for what you are and who you are and what you're asking of us to be. For it is in Jesus' holy name we pray. And they all said, Amen. Well, this is an interesting text. And when you think about this steward and the master who owns everything, this steward is, if you will, a worldly guy, and he's sort of conducting business, if you will, for the one who owns it all. And he finds out that he's not being fair. The master finds out he's not being fair, and so he calls to account the steward. And so, if you will, each of us, if you can put yourselves in the steward's place, in an understanding that God is the master, God is the owner of it all, and we are the steward. And here, today, just say today, just ask yourself this. If God came back right now, how would you feel? I mean, right this moment. And if you think about that long enough, you might say, man, you know, I have to get some things right. I have to fix some things. And so if you think about this story, the steward does, doesn't he? He finds out that he's been called out. He's called to accountability. And I want to give you a little explanation of a couple of these verses. When it talked about the different size of the things that they owed. Okay, let's look at verse 6. It says, he called the first one of the debtor and he says, how much do you owe the master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. Well, that word in the Greek is batos. And in Hebrew, it's bath, just like you take a bath. And each one of those measures is 8 or 9 gallons of oil. So 8 or 9, and then you multiply that times the 100. And so he just wanted half of that. And then the other, when he talked about the measures of wheat, that word in Greek is keras, and then kor in Hebrew, and it means 10 or 12 bushels each. 10 or 12 bushels each. And he says, I just want a fifth, take a fifth off. So why did he go from a half to a fifth? That's pretty interesting. When he was knocking down these, what they owed. But the steward, what he was doing is he was acting, as the man says here, shrewdly. He knew he had been called to account and he no longer would have this job. And so he was going to make friends the best he could in what he had. He didn't have anything. He was working for the master. And so what he had from the master, he said, well, listen, if I make these people happy with me, then listen, down the road when I get kicked out of my job and I don't have a house to stay, I will actually have a place to live. Now, this contrast is really heaven and hell. Isn't that strange? It's really heaven and hell. Because the people of the world, we're laying up our treasures for the things for the world to come. And that can be either heaven or hell for us as Christians. We know that. I mean, I hope you know that, that there's a place called hell and there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth and eternal damnation and fire. And then there's a place that we call heaven that to enter in, you must know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And then not only that, continue to live for him and serving him and doing good with what he's been given to you. Well, if you think about your own life, if we were all called to an account, even this day, and we knew that God was going to come right now, how is it that you would act? And what would you do to make things right? Or that comes to your mind to say, I need to do this before that happens? Because in our own minds, God's given us abilities. He's given us talents. He's given us gifts. He's given us provisions. And all of our life, if you will, all of our essence, all of our being, he says in the commands from Jesus, he says that he wants all of us to worship him and give him the honor and glory and to make him number one in our life. So in everything that we have control over, he wants us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, and essence, if you will. And so, in everything of your life that you have control of course, are you allowing the Lord Jesus to be, if you will, the caretaker of it? The one who has given it to you and blessed you with it? Are you blessing and honoring him through being a good steward of what he's given to you, is the question. And so, when you think on those terms, God has blessed us in so many ways. He helps us to understand this contrast of are we building up treasures here on earth and trying to make good friends and do deals and act shrewdly and be a good businessman here on earth and establish all that we can for ourself and for our honor and for our glory. Now, when you think on those terms and you do well in the worldly goods, when you do it for yourself, let me say this, and God showed me this year, I'm talking 30 years ago, 25 years ago for sure, that you are robbing him of his glory. When you're building it up for yourself, you're robbing him of his glory. Because Jesus said that I've given you life and life more abundantly. I've given you everything that you have, even your breath. You can't breathe without God allowing you to breathe. And therefore, when we recognize that everything that we've been granted to be the caretaker of, even our children, our grandchildren, you think about that. Everything that has been given to you, who gave life? And I'll never forget the birthing process. And when Anthony and Rebecca cried, how did that happen? Go from inside the womb, outside into the air, and then they start breathing. If that isn't a miracle of God, I don't know what is. Then what happens is they have been given to you to raise. They're not yours per se. They're God's that is allowing you to, because, listen, because they were birthed into your family. God chose you to be in your family. That's crazy when you start thinking about it. Why are you a Smith? Why are you a Jones? Why are you an Antonelli? Because God said, this is how it's going to be, and this is where you're going to be. Now, when God gives us these things, what do we do with them? If it be children, if it be our jobs, if it be our spouses, whatever it is, what do we do with them? And I want to say we can act shrewdly. The contrast here is the world and heaven. We can act shrewdly and be shrewd, and you know that there are people that are outstanding salespeople. And why do we know that? Because you have laid, probably experienced it. They are so good and so believable. Matter of fact, this is the best and the newest, and they know how to use your weaknesses to gain your money. A good salesman does. Doesn't matter if it's cars, doesn't matter if it's whatever it is, doesn't matter. They know, and they can size you up, and a good salesman, and I tell you that from truth, being a car salesman that sold me a bunch of cars in Kentucky, taught me that you have to study people, and if you can ask some key questions right up front, and you can guide them right to where they need to be to get them the car that they want, maybe the car that you want them to have. I mean, he was that good. The thing is, we have to look at what are we doing with what God's given us. Now, in the world, we got to live in the world, but God says to do what? Don't be of the world. You got to live in it, but don't be of the world. So, what does God want from us? God wants us to recognize that everything that he's given to us, he has given to us for our stewardship. For us to be good stewards of the gifts, the graces, the talents, and the blessings that he has bestowed upon us, the good health, the opportunities of jobs, whatever that is, and that we should then in turn be good stewards for his glory. Now, this is a great scripture that I think a lot of people miss. It's verse 10. It says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Now, How many of you can finish this up? If you're a liar, white liar, little white lies, when it comes down to it, you're going to say a big lie to preserve yourself. If you're a liar, you're a liar. It's almost like a thief. Once a thief, you're
always a thief.
Why do we say that? Because it's very difficult to change your character and your nature unless Jesus intervenes. Now, if Jesus intervenes, then a lot of things can happen, and you can testify to that, and you know that. But if you stay in the shrewdness in the world, once a liar, always a liar, once a thief, always a thief, you get a reputation, and you are that, and that unless Jesus intervenes, you're not changing. But what I want you to grasp out of this is the next part. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or the worldly things or wealth, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Now, think about God. I don't know how many of you are really filled with joy. Do you know that's a spiritual term? It's not happiness. It's joy. And joy, no matter what you live in or no matter what you're experiencing, you can still have joy. The issue is that why would God, he offers you, he gives you, he has blessed you with all that you've been blessed. Think about this now in your world, what you've been blessed with. Are you honoring him? Are you showing God that he's the most important thing in your life? And are you showing him he's the Lord of all of what he's given to you? Now, if you're not doing that, then I want to say, I think that you can't experience the fullness of the joy of the Lord, because God, why would he give you all the blessings that he has if you're not willing to even show him that you honor him and respect him and you care for him and you serve him in the little things? Why would he give you more? It's not worldly stuff I'm talking about. Worldly stuff, it's great. You can be shrewd and you can be the world and you can burn in hell. When you recognize that Jesus is Lord and he is the one that granted you all of this, and that you need to show him that he is the most important thing in your life, and that you honor him through what he's blessed you with, and that you serve him, then he's going to recognize, and that's where that OBB comes in. Obedience brings blessings. And when God recognizes you're obedient to what he's given to you, guess what he's going to do? He's going to give you more. And he's going to add to what you've already proved to him that you honor him and glorify him with. And if you continue to do that, then let me say this, that then what God's going to do is keep pouring out. And it says in James, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you that what? That you cannot contain. And why is that? Because he knows he can trust you. He knows he can trust you. Sure, you can have the worldly wealth. But I'm telling you, the spiritual side of things is the joy and the peace. And people that aren't happy. You know people that aren't happy? Do you know anybody that's not happy? Yeah. That it doesn't matter what goes on in their life. They might be happy for a short time, but it doesn't last very long. And I want to say, offer them Jesus. Because I'm telling you, if you recognize this Jesus in your life and you recognize where your blessings come from, that God's going to want, as you prove yourself to him, he's going to pour out more and more and open up bigger doors and better places for you to serve. And listen, I don't know if you understand this. I haven't been on the mission field, per se, out of the country. But I know that there's many that have. And when they go out of the country, they come back to this country with a new, renewed, if you will, understanding and a renewed appreciation for what is here. Have you heard that from other people? Say amen if you have. Yeah. And why is that? Because we are so spoiled rotten and provided for that we just take for granted. We get to the point where we just take it for granted that we are going to have it tomorrow. And I can only say this. I guarantee you, Miss Doris, when she fell on her backside, didn't expect that she was going to be in a brace and be in pain for 3 or 4 weeks already. Miss George Barino out in the yard didn't anticipate that morning to stumble and fall and break her arm. And just like you. You woke up this morning, you got dressed, and you came here, and you're thinking everything's fine. Scott Dixon, Saturday night, didn't. Jody went to the hospital. Why? Having pains. Healthy. Farm worker. Works hard. Scott, a figure of health if you looked at him physically. He didn't anticipate. He's 41 years old. 41! Going to the hospital for chest pains. All I can say is God's not giving you tomorrow. And so, when I opened up by saying, if God came back right now, is not far-fetched. It's really not. Because none of us are given our next breath unless God wants to give it to us. And therefore, we have to recognize who's blessing us and honor him with what he has given us. And if we honor him, he said he'll honor us with more. He'll bless us with more. I can only ask you to challenge yourself in your thinking and your prayer time. As you come closer to God, give him your time. You know, I've opened up the church and yeah, that's great. And yeah, there's been a few people that have come. Not very many, but there's been a few. That's not the point. The point is that you will recognize there's a time and a place that this church is open that you know there's people praying for you. And I pray that you would etch out a time in your day to say, this is just for the Lord. And that I want to start praying, and I might want to make my own 3x5 cards, or I want to take this list, or the presence of God is a transforming position to be in. It's a place where God works on you. And I can only say, if he's working on you, he's working on our church. If he's working on you and he's working on our church, he's working on our community. If he's working on you, he's working on your family. Because let me tell you what I've learned in counseling. That if you change the dynamics in your relationships, every relationship that you have changes. Because you've changed. If you get more like Christ, guess what happens? Do you think the relationships are going to always get better? No. Thank you, Evan. That's right. No. You know why? Because there's people in your world and in your life and in your relationships that don't like Jesus. And guess what happens? Sometimes you have to sever those ties. And you have to sever those relationships. And you have to let that dead wood, if you will, go. And that you have to go on to what's better and bigger for that God has for you. And you say, well, Brother Tony, that doesn't sound very compassionate. I want to let you know that God speaks to you and he says, stop. You better stop. Doesn't matter who you think those people are. If they're not living for Jesus, and if they're tearing you down and bringing you down to what the world wants and not what the Lord wants, then why are you around them? I hope the only answer you would have was that God told me to minister to them. That God told me to minister to them. Because there's people in this world that are out to get you and bring you down to where they are. And they are the shrewd, if you will, stewards of this world. And they work for Satan and they don't work for God. And the thing is we have to make decisions. And we have to be ready to know that we're going to have to one day give an account. It's in the scriptures. Every single one of us are going to have to give an account for what? What do you think we're going to have to give an account for? Just give me an idea what you think. For all things. Well, let's itemize a couple. For something like what?
Serving him.
Why did you or why did you not do this or that?
And for witnessing.
For witnessing. Anything else? What about how you treat other people? Think about that.
Why you didn't give your gifts.
Why you didn't give your gifts. Some of you are so gifted.
Amen.
So talented. And when you join the church, and I talked about covenant at the very beginning of the year. And you know we went through that covenant that you made with the church. Of your talents, of your time, of your prayers, of your presence, and of your offerings and tithes. Are you really doing that? Are you just lip service? You know, there's one person here, Miss Sherry knows what you give. She knows. Can you believe she has to live with that? No, I mean, honestly. She knows how earnest you are, each and every one of you, to this church. To the Lord, really. It's not the church, because it's the Lord. It's being obedient to what God's asked us to do, and that is to give to the church. And she knows. She has to live with that. She really does. Are you ready for him to come back? Are you ready to give an account for your talents and your gifts and give an account to God to say, okay, Lord, I'm totally surrendered, man. I know. I'm serving you. I'm giving all I can. I'm doing what I can. I'm outreaching. I'm witnessing. I'm doing everything that you've asked me to do. Are you doing that? If not, then guess what? There's a time of repentance. Last week I talked about repentance. The angels in heaven would rejoice when we come to repentance, when we know we're doing wrong, and then we say, I want to change. The issue is, are you willing to change? Are you that old dog? Analogy. Analogy. The old dog that you can't teach new tricks, right? You know that's a lie of the devil. Do you know that?
Yeah.
How old's old? Anybody feel old in here? Sometimes I do. At 56. How old's old? And then are you willing to be open enough to say, Lord, I want to be all I can be for you. I want to do all I can for you. I want to represent you in every aspect of my life. And I want to honor you through what I say and what I do. This morning, I want to take a few minutes that, Madeline, if you'll come. And I know we have a closing song, but I'd like for you just to play a little, just something, okay? And I want to offer these to you this morning. And I know everybody's not able to walk up here, and please understand that. But these are people that have needs, literally have needs. The family of Joe Young is one. Joe Young was a principal here at the elementary school in our community. Played the organ at the First Missionary Baptist Church. His family needs your prayers. Are we praying for him? That's just one. You know, there's a whole bunch. Maybe you need a time with the Lord and to come and just say, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been neglecting you, and I've really been serving this shrewd master of the world, and I need to give more attention to you. If that's you this morning, I want you to come. Just bow your heads where you are. Just be quiet. Some of you might want to pray there. I would just invite you to come to this altar. We got a few minutes. I want you to just come. If you want to come, if you don't, that's okay. But I want you to know that these people are here, and they have needs, and they want you to pray for them. So come, if you will. As we just meditate and listen. there's not enough, just share them with somebody else. Just take a few. And there's some more down here.